Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ here with you at 713-780-3776. Not a great night last night. I don't know. Did you have a... well, you had a good night last night, huh, RJ? Watching the Did you stay up for that Rockets Laker game?
I watched the highlights, but it's like, man, it's the Rockets, man. Come on. We're not too great either.
It's two of the worst teams in the NBA going at it head-to-head. All right, I'll tell you what, LeBron was pretty good.
I mean, we're in the mix for the play-in. We're in the mix, but that's not a successful season for the Lakers, but you're in the mix for the play-in.
Oh, that's your high point now, in the mix for the play-in.
Got to be, because they're not going to make any sort of trades.
No, that's what you strive for now as an organization every year.
Great.
Okay? That's what you strive for.
Lakers basketball ain't nothing like it.
No.
Well, could be worse.
Yeah. Could be Rockets.
It could be Rockets basketball.
You guys are going to get, we're going to get Wimby, and everything is going to change. It's going to be the same hype that Yao Ming had when he came. Trust me. Bank, like, locked.
Oh, my gosh. If the Lakers get Wembanyama.
No, I'm saying the Rockets are getting
Wimby. Oh, the Rockets.
And then it's going to be pandemonium like it was when Yao Ming first got here.
Well, I'll tell you what. You want to talk about turning around. I don't care what organization it is. Whoever Victor goes to, it's going to be a big, big, big shot in the arm, because you're going to be a poor basketball team. So that will sell. That dude's going to sell a lot of tickets. Whoever he goes to, whoever gets that number one pick, they are getting a lottery. Is what they're getting. They're winning the lottery. And then the Cowboys won. It just makes me sick to watch him. That Dak played well. They're not going to fire McCarthy. Dak is, a superhero now. They got to go to San Francisco now. So how's that going to taste? Although, I will say this. That front four of Dallas is going to give them some problems. They're going to give – I know everybody's – it's the Brock Purdy show now, and everybody's in love with Brock Purdy. They're going to give him the what for. I think they're going to put some pressure on him, and the kid's going to have a much tougher time.
I would agree. Dallas's rush, to me, is why I didn't give Tom Brady and them a great chance, because they're just too good up front. I mean, it's been an issue for Tampa all year long, and Dallas just has too many guys that can rush. And I think that's going to be the key. You got to disrupt the rhythm of San Francisco's offense, because one of the reasons Purdy's been good is because he's been in rhythm. And he's made some plays. He's extended some plays, but he's thrown to some wide open guys. You gotta disrupt that. You gotta disrupt it early. I tell you, I think Brett Maher, if you missed it, he missed 4 extra points in a row and then made the 5th one. 4 extra points is an NFL record. They've only been kicking from, from distance from the what do they kick it from?
The 15.
Yeah, they've only been kicking from the 15 for, I guess, a few years now. Not a long time. So it doesn't surprise. I mean, that's obviously going to be a record. When kickers, it's kind of like a golfer. When a kicker gets a yips,
yep.
That's why the Bengals, Colts, they cut their kicker. Was it right after the Texans game?
Yeah.
Or was it a different game?
Yep.
They had to cut him, and he had been the kicker all last year because it's a known thing that when a kicker gets the yips, it's hard for the, it's a psychological thing. So it can be hard for them to get out of. You remember?
Well, they got a decision to make.
One of the best kickers for Houston football team of all time was Al Del Greco. Yeah. Del Greco was really good. And you remember you remember where he used to kick? Well, you weren't there at the time, I don't think. Were you? You weren't at Green Bay. He was a Green Bay Packer.
I wasn't in Green Bay with Del Greco, no. No. Chris Jackie was the kicker then.
Yeah, Del Greco, if I remember correctly, was Green Bay. And then he was a good kicker, and all of a sudden he got the yips, and he was done with Green Bay. Like, he just couldn't do it anymore. He became a quote-unquote, you know, kind of a bad kicker. Went to Houston, just got it back, you know, psychologically. Yeah. Like, Brett Maher... missing
it's
four
a lot
extra
like
points.
The golf swing is a lot like
it
the
is
golf swing.
And yep. It's just, you know, and it can be fixed, but yep. A lot of it's you start getting in your own head. If he I could see this being an issue next week against San Francisco in Dallas. Jerry Jones already said we're not looking for a new kicker. This is one of those things where you don't want to make a change, but it can be a situation. But anybody you'd be picking up is not on one of 32 teams.
My wife was we're watching the game and she's like, I feel so bad for his parents. Because that's how she looks at everything from the parents' perspective.
Is that what
now.
She says?
Yeah, I feel so. You know how his parents feel right now, and you know that is the truth. I'll tell you, you live and die with every every pass.
I feel so bad for his parents. I would have never thought that in a million years.
Yeah, no. Well, because every pass JT threw, you know, we were like, JT, what are you thinking? Uh-huh. And then but when he did well, it's nice. It's nice when they do well, but it's so painful when they do poorly.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had to be beside himself. And I was disappointed. Joe Buck, he made the fifth one, and he was just like, and the extra point is good. I was like, that should have been cause célèbre.
Yeah.
Holy crap, your guy missed four in a row. You should have been like, he made it. He made it.
He finally made one.
He finally made one. Congratulations. So Dallas, they look pretty good. It's the NFL. And listen, the difference is going to be – it was all time. What did he throw, 70 passes last night?
I mean, he hit 50 in the in like with 6 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it was
I don't know what his final number was.
I don't either, but here's the deal. That's the difference between San Francisco and Tampa is that – they can run the football, and boy, will they run the football.
Oh, yeah.
Between McCaffrey and Mitchell. So while that front four is really, really good for Dallas, they can't pin their ears back. That's for sure.
No, and that's why running the ball is so important for San Francisco, because it keeps, you know, their offense operates off play action. So it's really, really, really important to run a football. You know, the story from the game, though, is going to be, is this Tom Brady's last game? I still think that he will go to the Raiders. That's the odds-on favorite, is that Tom Brady ends up with the Raiders. You know, it's working its way. You've got Devontae Adams. You've got Max Crosby. I mean, you've got some talent there. Waller will be healthy. Well, one would assume. Hunter Renfrow.
He's hurt a lot.
You got a decent offensive line. You've got some things to work with. Josh Jacobs. Like, that's... But you just came from a place where you had some stuff to work with. You just had an offensive line that got
beat
up.
Well, at least you got a running game there.
How much of this is...
He had none.
No, he didn't. And how much of this do you think is on... So there were arguments. I was reading, you know, Twitter. Ryan Clark made a comment about who would want Tom Brady at this point, which team. And the reality is there's a lot of teams who would take him. But you also understand it. I mean, this is a very small Band-Aid that you're putting on something. I'm not asking from a Texan standpoint, but how much of this do you think Tom Brady fans and some Buck, and I guess Buck fans in general, were saying this is a Todd Bowles thing and it's a offensive line thing? But I think it's both. Brady didn't look good, and Brady has never looked very good when he hasn't had Gronk on the field. Even Gronk, when he wasn't great last year, was still a factor at times.
He missed a lot of passes that he normally doesn't make.
Exactly. I saw passes that had nothing to do with offense.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, and the interception, the red zone interception, was just horrible. Just throw that ball away. But just, you know, passes that end up at guys' feet or sail over their heads with no pressure, that's just not Brady. It was just not Brady. I don't know. This is not his. He didn't say it. Definitively, but here's how he ended his press conference last night, and it's pretty much goodbye Tampa.
I just want to say thank you guys for everything this year. I really appreciate all your effort, and I know it's hard for you guys too. It's hard for us players to make it through, and you guys got a tough job, and I appreciate all that you guys do to cover us and everyone who watches and is a big fan of the sport. We're very grateful for everyone's support, and hopefully, I love this organization. It's a great place to be, and thank you, everybody, for welcoming me, all you regulars, and just very grateful for the respect, and I hope I gave the same thing back to you guys. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
That sounds just like when Jimmy Garoppolo said goodbye at San Francisco. Only this time I believe it. This time it's going to happen. He's not going to.
Well, there's no way. Yeah, Garoppolo's gone, and I think Brady's gone too.
But Garoppolo ended up staying, though.
Yeah.
Remember? He said goodbye in a press conference last year, and it was the most, like, it was literally goodbye, even though people said, well, you know, you didn't know for sure, but you knew. This is the same thing. I think he's going to go to the Raiders. Honestly, I think it will be an unfortunate situation. It happens to every athlete. But if Tom had gone out the year before, or when he retired, if he had gone out, he wouldn't have dealt with this. Like, this is definitely a blemish. It's not, no one's going to remember it, no. But you didn't go out on the highest of highs like John Elway, or a really high, you know, you could have gone out the year before. Maybe you'd still be married. Maybe not. Obviously it had to be more to it than just that. But, now if he goes to the Raiders, you know, you kind of, if unless you're very anti Tom Brady, you'd like for him to have a good season to go out on.
There's a lot of people that don't want to see that.
I don't want to see. Yeah, no, there is. I'm not a personal, you know, I appreciate excellence. Like, I don't want LeBron to go out looking like Olajuwon did whenever he was at the end of his rope. That was sad. But LeBron's at a different, you know, LeBron's the most physically gifted. He's the most physically and genetically gifted athlete that I've ever seen in the history of sports. Like, to play at this level, at this age, for this many years, with this many miles off the tires, is truly staggering. I mean, it's unbelievable that LeBron James plays at this high a level at age 38. And on any given night, he can be, like, he's got a legitimate case to say he's one of the three best players in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for his entire career.
Yeah.
And it's hard to look good against the Rockets.
He doesn't always look like this, like he did last night. He doesn't always get to play the Rockets defense.
Well, Rockets defense can be pretty scrappy sometimes in the early stages of the first quarter.
Oh.
They scored 140. No, it didn't go to triple overtime. That's just a regular NBA game now. The ball. By the way, that's a separate conversation.
140.
When the tale of basketball is told and the arguments are had, this era right now that you're in over the last two or three years is going to have to be taken with a grain of salt. It's just like, you know, trying to compare football from the 90s with football now. You have so much more passing, so many more yards. Only this time, you have some really bad defense. You have early offense, really bad defense. There's so many more possessions and shots now. There's so little defense. There's so many players that sit out with load management stuff and just, you know, I guess injuries or just fatigue or just mental health days or whatever, that these are insane scores that we see on a regular. The score yesterday, let's just look at the scores. Let's see yesterday. Boston won 130-118. Milwaukee won 132-119. Toronto and New York, it was overtime, 123-121. Golden State, 127-118. I mean, listen to these scores.
Yeah.
It's truly unbelievable. Memphis, 136-106. Listen how many teams are getting into 130s. Like, I can't take the point. The points scored, if you do it relative to the shots taken or the points in the game, like, you almost have to say, okay, so if a guy's averaging 29 now, it's the equivalent of 23 in most years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the scores are so outrageous. Like, there is, and I know people are going to act like this is just, no, it's just unbelievable basketball players. The defense in any game where you watch is so light. There's no help side defense anymore. Everything with
there's very little physicality.
Everything with the stretching the court has created, and people don't want to give up the three. Like, you do not have people clamp down. Now, you will when games become more intense, but it's astonishing. Like, to see people, it's not even a big deal anymore. Somebody scores 50. It's not even a big deal. Oh, what? Donovan Mitchell scored 71? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, right? I know.
Donovan had 60. I'm sorry. Joker had what, a 60? Who had the 60-point triple-double? Was that Luka? It was Luka, wasn't Luka. It? Yeah. Oh, a 60-point triple-double? No big deal.
All right, 713 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Although we don't want to, we're going to talk Texans on the other side. First of all, two huge revelations yesterday. So we will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, you got some insurance to talk about.
Well, and I'm talking about your insurance. How much – here's the good question for you. How difficult is it going to be for you to find money this year to pay taxes? Maybe you got to pay some taxes this year. Where's the money going to come from? You may not even know. Maybe you're going to take out a home equity loan or whatever. Listen, you can find money with your homeowner's insurance. A lot of you are paying way too much for homeowner's insurance. Yeah, you got to have it. And you got to have A-rated insurance. But TGS Insurance, what they do is aggregate A-rated insurance companies, and then they shop your address through their algorithm, and they get answers back on what a firm quote would look like within 15 seconds. Now, if you want to add, you know, very specific coverages to jewelry or a gun safe or, an RV that you have parked there, or maybe your flood insurance, whatever the case may be, because they won't just automate, you know, they ask you if you want that because some of you are not in a flood zone. You may not want it. But they find rates that are competitive rates where people are fighting for your business. They're giving you the best rates possible. And that's why the average savings for people who switch is about $900. So there is money to be had, and it's your money. Get your money back. Get your homeowner's insurance through TGS Insurance. Text the word money to 232323 within 15 seconds. They'll have a quote right back to you. What do you have to lose? There's no strings attached just to find out what the quote would look like. That's money to 232323.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
All right, time to talk about HRP. Time to talk about your business. Time to talk about you being better at your business. Time to talk about you making more money at your business. First of all, it goes to the bottom line. If you've got more than, let's say, 25 employees, now all of a sudden your payroll department is getting just too big. You're spending too much time. You're spending too much money on the people that have to take care of all the payroll, all of the HR, all of the taxes every year. Doing it yourself is just it doesn't pay off. Here's the deal. HRP is here for you. They'll customize a plan that's going to be more economical. They're going to be technologically better than you are. They're going to have the expertise that you don't in the Affordable Care Act. It's so important that you not mess this thing up. They've got everything that you could possibly need. And not everyone of, you know, everybody's business is different. They customize that plan that is perfect for you. Our business is different than yours. You have different needs. We have different needs. But every single time, it's just perfect. So if you're looking for that payroll company that's going to be perfect for you, give them a call. Give them a try and let them customize a plan for you. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I think both of us, I don't want to speak for you, but what I heard you say over the entire season was that you didn't consider C.J. Stroud as a possibility for the Texans at that number one pick.
Throughout the year?
No. I think both of them. I've come around since the Georgia game, watching him in that Georgia game.
For the number two pick?
And you broke him all down. You did his tape.
It's his best game he's ever played.
No, that one. But what about the whole season?
The rest of the season was not something that you probably would take for the... There's just too many mistakes made and reads of... You know, the coverage.
How dangerous. But by the way, C.J. Stroud is coming out. He announced it yesterday, after our show.
Forever. Jordan Addison took forever. He's coming out also.
So did Paris Johnson.
He's coming out.
He's coming out.
See, I wrote all these guys. Yesterday, this is the most this has ever happened. Yesterday, I just Googled players who are going back. Like, I had to find the right way to Google it so I could find a list because I knew somebody had compiled some list. It was devastating for me. I lost 10 players.
No way. Like, well, you got them for next year now.
You got a guy's got to come out. You guys got to come out once I write you. If not, go back. Here's the players that I wrote. Jack Plummer, he's transferring. Quarterback Cal, he stinks. DJ James, Auburn, that's a really good cornerback. Fabian Lovett, FSU, going back. Will Reichard, the kicker for Alabama, is going back.
Oh, really?
What does he have to prove?
Oh, he's probably getting paid, though.
I guess so. Layden Robinson from A&M is going back, their guard. I wrote him a while back. He said he was coming out. Now he's going back.
Well, they got money.
Rook Ohorohoro, Ororo, I think his name is, from Clemson. Tyler Davis, defensive tackle, Clemson. I mean, these guys are like day two picks. Brandon Dorless, defensive end, Oregon. Tavion Robinson, who I think is better than Wandale Robinson, from Kentucky, wide receiver. He's going back. Blake Corum, running back, Michigan, going back. Jared Verse, first rounder from Florida State, going back. Jordan Morgan tore his knee up, tackle from Arizona. He's got first round potential next year. And then this guy, Brevin Spanford, who's a big tight end from Minnesota. This is like one, two, three. Like, there's a lot of guys who I had to pull out of my list and delete from my This is the most I've ever seen.
Well, just hold on to them from next year.
Well, yeah, I did. But yeah. I mean, but I also I had to go down the list like, crap, this is going to be a thing every year now where I'm going to write guys early because it's also COVID-related. Some of these guys were seniors and had invites to the Senior Bowl. So that's like, you're a senior. You're going. The COVID year means you can come back anytime you want.
Yeah. So Stroud's coming out. It's a good thing for our Houston Texans because it makes that first overall pick a little less valuable.
It puts another quarterback on the table. Yes. Like, the value of that pick, what difference does it make, you know?
It makes Bryce Young that much more attractive if Stroud is not in this draft.
Yeah, but if he's attractive, it's still going to be, you know what I mean?
Well, somebody's going to get
it may mean less for the Bears.
It means less
picks.
That's right. It means less for the Colts because there's a good chance they're going to get one of those two.
If the Bears will take, it's going to be interesting to see what the price is because the reason the number one pick's not traded often is teams just don't give in to the offers that are made.
Well,
there's been a standard set and they don't want to take less because we talked about this before. Having a bunch of draft picks sounds good until you draft the players and then those players have to play well versus the guy that you traded away.
Well, the question too is Will Anderson a game changer defensively? Is he, I don't want to say generational player, but is he going to be a difference maker for years and years to come on that edge?
So I'll tell you something else, though, that could play a factor. Maybe not with the Texans, but inside the top four that I heard yesterday from a friend who is not in the NFL, but he's in college football. There's a rumor going around. I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's information that that Jalen Carter may have been involved in a street race with the kid who died from Georgia and the staffer, the offensive lineman. That he may have been involved in that, and there he may be in some trouble right now. So that could, who knows what that's going to be.
Wow.
That's what somebody heard from, that's what a friend of mine heard from somebody over at Georgia. So that's going to be something to keep your eye on right now. I hope that's not true for, just for Jalen Carter's sake, but if you didn't hear, an offensive lineman for Georgia in a staffer on the recruiting side were killed in a car accident, but apparently it was like kind of street race
thing. And there were two more people injured too. So it was that was a devastating loss for Georgia.
I heard does not end up being accurate, but this guy has got some people pretty tied into Georgia, and so we'll see what what comes to that. It was a sad story already, so we'll see what ends up happening, if there's any impact on Jalen Carter or not. I know he was on the scene, but that's all I had heard. It's really going to be, for the Texans, the top names are out. Like, it's good that C.J. Stroud is there. You now have options.
Yep.
Because I'm telling you, Levis and Richardson are not options at two. So you did not have options. Now you have an option.
Yep. Now you also got David Mulligan to possibly deal with. You know what? Whoever goes up, if the Colts go up to one, they might like Stroud better.
They might. Oh, the Colts?
Yeah,
it's possible.
Because they like traits, and he's got more traits than Bryce Young has. But how dangerous is it to base the number two overall pick on that one Georgia game and forget the rest of the tape.
And it's dangerous. We've seen it before. Jamarcus Russell, I remember watching him, and I was doing my football newsletter back then, and he was not as good. Like, he had physical talent, but he was not. And I think he had a really good bowl game.
Oh, he had a great game against Notre Dame.
He had a really good bowl game.
Sugar Bowl against Notre Dame.
You know, Cardale Jones had a great game before. Had he come out, he would have been a second-round pick, Cardale James, as a third-string quarterback at Ohio State.
Cardale Jones.
But he went back to school, and figured out who he was. He went in the fourth round. But,
XFL legend.
Yeah. These games really could have, you know, these games can kind of fool you a little bit. And I don't know. I mean, it's not like he hasn't performed well. He's also, look, Ohio State quarterbacks have had issues reading defenses because they have a certain scheme where they've got guys running wide open. I was watching the cornerback guard, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, that's a special wide receiver. Marvin Harrison Jr. has got a chance to be better than his dad. And his dad was really good. Marvin Harrison Jr. is really good. You get a throw to those guys. Same thing with Tua. I mean, Tua couldn't play. Tua's great at Alabama. Then got where he had average receivers. I would say below average receivers. Wasn't very good. Then all of a sudden, now he's got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek.
Yeah. Well, they make you better.
Life, yeah. I mean, good receivers make your life better. Like, Lamar Jackson would be a better passer with a great wide receiver. Well, everybody is.
Stroud's going to walk in here. Chris Moore. He's going to have Nico Collins.
Yep.
He's going to have.
I mean, you've got some talented guys now.
You've got some.
I don't
Akins.
Know if you'll have Brandon Cooks, though.
Brandon Cooks, probably not. No.
Well, I mean, he's under contract. He did sign an extension and then immediately went to the quit card.
Yeah, bye. See ya.
Whew, Texans fans are not Brandon Cooks fans.
No. And then there's the other big story, and that is Sean Payton. He was on, and you may have heard this sound already because it was making the rounds yesterday all over Houston sports radio. You may have heard it, but we'll play it on the other side for those of you that have it. He was on with Colin Cowherd, and it was very, very interesting what he had to say about the Houston Texans organization. He's pretty blunt, as revealing as any coach I think I've ever heard.
I was surprised he said as much as he did.
Yeah, it's really surprising. 727 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. But first, let's talk a little tequila.
Let's talk about Maestro Dobel's ability to make your evening better. Or maybe it's just your afternoon better. I don't know. It depends on how you do it. But Maestro Dobel is the best. They're the best. This tequila is so good. Whether you are, and I was never, you know, I used to drink margaritas. Every once in a while, you know, you have your tequila shots. But it is not until over the last few years that I became someone who really enjoys sipping tequila. Because when you have a really good tequila like Maestro Dobel, and you have the flavor profile where it's smooth, it's got a little bit of a hint of a sweet finish, depending on, you know, which ones that you're trying, it really changes things. And it is a sipping tequila that goes great in cocktails. And so if you're making a margarita or a different cocktail with Maestro Dobel, I definitely suggest the silver or the smoked silver called the Humito. If you are looking for a sipping tequila, the Reposado is great. Reposado goes great with cocktails as well. But the Añejo is phenomenal, and the Añejo Extra. They are absolutely outstanding. And the Cristalino blends three different tequilas, charcoal filters, ages it, and the result is a staggering tequila that you are going to absolutely love if you love sipping tequila. So make sure that you check out Maestro Dobel. Grab yourself a bottle and put it on the top shelf, because that's the kind of tequila it is. That's the quality we're dealing with. And then let me know how you like it. But Maestro Dobel is going to up your tequila game. It's Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, right now it's time for me to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. I got to tell you, I just love what Billy and Mary and everybody over there have done for me personally. And not only me, when I had a buddy who said he had a pipe burst, man, I gave him the number, he called, they were on the scene literally within the hour, because that's how they respond. They're unbelievable, especially if you have an emergency situation. And when you have a pipe burst, it's an emergency situation. We're going through all kinds of stuff because we had a water leak, and we're still trying to get all of that water out at our house, and it's just horrible. But here's the deal. is, man, they couldn't be better. They just cannot be better at what they do. They're going to come to the house. And he found it right away. He was like, the floor was starting to buckle and the baseboard was pulling away a little bit. Man, he opened up that wall. There was a crack in the pipe. And it's better right away. It's unbelievable how good they are. They're going to be great for you, not just because we speak for them. They do this with everybody. So if you have any issue whatsoever, you got to call 281-488-6238, 281-488-6238, or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Paris SBs make these catch seizures. Foam game in on Irish Springs and Lever. Ha, I'm more cleaver, clever.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, I'm opposed. Yesterday, Sean Payton interviewed for the Texans job here. I'm opposed to giving up the 12th pick overall. I'm opposed to it.
Yeah, now, it would hurt.
Listen, would you give up? Kenyon Green was the 15th pick. Would you give up Kenyon Green for Sean Payton? The answer is yes. Deshaun Watson was a 12th pick. Would you give up Deshaun Watson for Sean Payton? No.
That's what the whole thing is. Picks are players.
They're players.
They're picks until they're players.
Right. Now, some players better than others, right? Mm-hmm. The 12th overall pick, you get a pretty darn good football player. As many football players as you need, I'll tell you this. And listen, to me, Sean Payton faded towards the end of his time in New Orleans. Not only that, but he just decided before his contract was done, he was kind of done with it. He was done.
I just think he was done with it. It was a good run. But he kind of faded as Drew Brees faded.
Yeah,
so it's right. Not surprising.
That's not surprising at all. I mean, you go as your quarterback goes. That's how.
Right, so let me ask you though. Let me ask you this question. You say, "Boy, I don't want to give up 12," and I'm with you in theory. But like I said, if I put a name to it, if I put a name on the 12th pick from this year's draft, it might be different for you. Well, I think it would actually be a lot different for you if
again,
I put a name on it.
Again, I did put a name on it. I put Deshaun Watson on it because he was the 12th
overall pick. From this year's draft.
Correct.
Because Deshaun Watson ain't in this draft.
No. But there's a lot of 12th overall picks that are really, really good football
players. There are. But this draft is specific players that we know who the players are going to be. And if I gave you a list of five players, you know, it's a little early in the process. But if I gave them to you in April, it will be interesting because it leads me to this question. What kind of impact has Brian Daboll had on the Giants?
Huge.
Huge. What about Doug Peterson on the Jags? Trevor. Huge. Now Trevor Lawrence has generational potential, but he's not there yet. So that's, you know, it's pretty good. And you got Etienne back this year.
He certainly has had an impact on him.
And that's what after the game, one of the things that Trevor Lawrence said is Doug Peterson has been big at changing culture. Brian Daboll changed culture, and Brian Daboll got the most out of Daniel Jones the same way he got the most out of Josh Allen when he was there. But Josh Allen's a really talented quarterback. Daniel Jones isn't some magical special quarterback.
No, but he's made a difference. Daboll
has made a huge difference, yeah. And so you know, I'm just giving you two that are in the
playoffs. Let's take a look at both of those guys. One of them had zero coaching experience coming in. The other one was a Super Bowl champion.
Well, no, Daboll had lots of coaching experience.
No, head coaching experience.
Yeah, hadn't been a head coach.
Head coaching experience. There's plenty of guys out there right now.
You have to say that because with the Texans, you could be looking at zero coaching experience.
Oh, that's
the, we're potentially going to hire a guy with zero coaching experience.
We're not doing that anymore.
Well, says you.
Understand?
Here comes off the top rope, Josh McCown's coming back.
No.
By God, that's Josh McCown's entry music.
No, Cal said he was getting involved again. Okay, so here we go.
Up, Josh McCown.
No, Josh McCown out. Jack Easterby out. Josh McCown out.
Oh, okay.
Okay, beat it, Josh McCown. No, they're not doing that. They're actually looking at legitimate coaching hires.
Yeah, these are real guys.
These are real guys. All of them are real guys. And so far, they've talked to guys, and we'll see which one that Hannah. Hopefully, Hannah likes the best. So we'll find out.
I didn't see Tom Brady trying to slide tackle somebody.
Oh, trip him.
Yeah, I didn't see that yesterday.
No, he came in and tried. He slid in and tried to trip a guy. I'm opposed. Yet I heard this soundbite when Sean Payton was on Colin Cowherd, and I thought, how? Maybe Sean Payton would be cool to have right here. Here he is, Sean Payton, when asked about the Houston Texans on Colin Cowherd's show.
Absolutely.
Here's why.
And look, I think I know the ownership group not very well, but we practiced against the Texans in New Orleans 4 or 5 different times. So Cal McNair, his late father, we'd see them, and so I don't know them well, but I know them. When you practice for 3 days with an opponent, you get a chance to meet a lot of the different personalities and people involved in the building. They've got really good draft capital.
Couple good young players.
They're in a division that you can at least look at and say, all right, Indy, Tennessee, Jacksonville is nothing. But you can at least, all right, how do we – so I think there's growth potential immediately there from their 2 or 3 wins that they had this year. I know Nick a little bit, Casario, because, again, when he was in New England, we had a lot of practices with their team. So each team – would be just like we're having that discussion. There'd be pros and that's the significance, though, of the upcoming week or two of meeting some of these individuals, asking some questions, maybe some difficult questions, and trying to get answers so that we're not having difficult questions when you've already taken the job.
How do you say the division sucks without saying the division sucks?
Boy, that was the most honest thing he said. I know, it's like the way he kind of breezed through that. Like, I mean,
there you got Jacksonville and Indy and so, Tennessee. So you can improve in a hurry.
But he is, but he's being honest, and you always wonder because he's going to, you know, that could also be creating leverage for his contract negotiations with someone else. It could easily be that. But he sold it as, you know, he sold.
At least he thought about it.
Look, I don't think
he's giving it consideration.
In on paper, Denver looks like, hey, that's a pretty good job. They don't have draft capital. They gave it away for a quarterback they're stuck with now. So I don't think that's a great job. I think you're kind of stuck there in Denver. I think there's a lot of things to like about it, but ultimately, you got an old declining quarterback and no draft capital.
Rank the jobs.
Trying to remember all the jobs that are open.
Carolina.
So it's already been said Carolina will have to pay a heavy toll to get him because it's a division team. So I think Carolina's out. I mean, I wouldn't even consider Carolina. They would have to give up so much that their draft capital.
According to reports, Ben Johnson is the favorite there. And I would hate Ben Johnson to be really, really good because that's the kind of guy I want, an innovative, young head coach.
I would have told you Joe Brady. I had that same kind of love for Joe Brady. I don't even know where he is anymore.
No.
I mean, it's good to have Jamar Chase, Joe Burrow, and Justin Jefferson on your team. That's for sure.
That helps. Arizona?
Yeah, I don't love that. You just hired a new GM yesterday from a guy who had been at Tennessee in the front office, but you got, you're stuck with Kyler, and Kyler's a quarterback with an ACL tear, a mobile, a guy who is a dual threat quarterback who just tore his ACL and will be out for a chunk of the year next year. And you gave him a huge contract. And if you do any homework at all, you find out that he was a nightmare in the building, like uncoachable. You couldn't tell him anything. Even a player came out and told Michael Silver that the other day, too. I heard it from one of the coaches there. So I don't think that's a great one. No, I don't think that's a great one.
Not,
you got an ownership group that I'm not sure that they, you know, that you'll spend the money that you probably want to if you're, you know.
Colts.
I think Colts have a chance to win, but they've got, you know, they've got some holes. Like, they've got an offensive line issue. They've got, they need another receiver. They need some DBs. But Colts could be, you get Shaq Leonard back. You got Jonathan Taylor. Colts could be a decent, for the same reason the Texans. Like, you got a high draft pick, although, I don't know, I think you'd have to give up future first. I don't think the Colts would give up that high a draft pick. They've already talked about a middle round, first round pick.
Yeah.
So if it's Colts.
Well, Peyton said that's what they're looking, that's what New Orleans is looking for.
I think the Colts would give up next year's first round pick and maybe an additional pick. I don't see that happening, though. they've already interviewed 7 candidates, and they got 4 to 6 more going. And every interview is like 4 to 5 hours on Zoom. So they're pretty serious about finding. I don't know if Peyton's one of them. I think Peyton is going to be one of the ones interviewed.
I haven't seen him mentioned with them.
Maybe not. I think that they'll go. You know who did get interviewed over there? And I called him to talk to him about it yesterday was Aaron Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Glenn got interviewed over there. And AG and I talked for a little while about his team now, the Lions. And he was talking about, you know, I said, how'd your interview go? And he said, we talked about philosophy. We talked about football stuff, like building a team. He goes, which I loved. He said, it wasn't one of these things where you felt like you had to, you know, interview and say the right things. It was just us talking. We're just talking ball.
That's how Ballard is, though, right?
Yeah, that's how he is. And yeah. He doesn't care about you trying to win an interview. He just wants to know what do you believe in?
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you believe in the building? Because it's all about being real in your culture. And Aaron said, you know, that's how Dan Campbell is in our building. Like, I just think it's so important to get a guy. It's one of the positives that I always go back to on Sean Payton. When you know what it looks like, you know, Doug Peterson, I'm sure Jacksonville, everyone wants the shiny toy. Doug Peterson knows how to win.
Yeah.
Like, there's something to be said for knowing what it looks like when you get in a building. I think Ron Rivera has some of that in Washington, and they perform much better with issues at quarterback. John Harbaugh has done it for a long time. Andy Reid's done it for a long time. There's something to be said for Mike Tomlin. They know what it's supposed to look like. Yeah. And they set standards. And I think Sean Payton understands what the standards was.
So rank them. Best job?
Out of all those, I would say probably. We're missing one, though, right?
Colts, Broncos, Cardinals, Panthers, and Texans.
That's it?
That's it.
I'd say Colts. I would say maybe Texans. They got multiple first-round picks. Even if you gave up 12. You still have first-round picks. You still have a second-round picks. You still have I wouldn't trade Tunsil because then you spring a leak at left tackle. But you could deal Brandon Cooks and maybe get a fourth for him. That's not great, but.
No. I don't know. I kind of like the way the Panthers played down the stretch. I mean.
They've got some defensive talent. I would say. Yeah, but Panthers, once again, you're going to have to give up so much draft capital, it's going to hurt.
I don't like the Cardinals' job. I don't like the Broncos' job. I really don't like. I'll tell you what. I thought the Colts might have been the worst team in the NFL at the end of the season.
They were bad.
They were really bad.
Their best defense player didn't play all year, though. And he comes back. Or, I don't know, maybe you need to find out, like, how bad is it with Shaq Leonard that he wasn't able to play. But, yeah, and their running back, like, you got to also find out why was the running game. Happened. What happened with Jonathan Taylor?
Thank you. I drafted him first overall, by the way, league.
I'm sure that there'll be other jobs that will open up as, you know, we go deeper and deeper into the playoffs, and maybe a couple of coaches from these playoff teams may get let go. But if we start selling ourselves out on Sean Payton, what job that's not open right now that could potentially be open where you would say, okay, yeah, I would be concerned?
Only one. Cowboys.
Not the Chargers?
Well, no, you're right. Chargers, too. Yeah, but I think if he would have been let go, it would have already happened. Like, Staley, to me, I think they're going to fire their OC, but I don't think Staley's going to go. I know Ian Rappaport yesterday with Rich Eisen, I heard him talking about the fact that he said, I would be very, very surprised if Brendan Staley is fired at this point, but I do think there may be some staff changes. So, and that's kind of what I think is going to happen. Staley will get his chance to stick around. He's had a couple pretty good seasons, 9-win season, 10-win season, and now I think he's got another one, and they'll, you know, the OC will take the bullet for this one. They'll get a new OC in. So, but no, you're right. Both of those would be, Sean Payton would be a fool not to take Lombardi. I think Sean Payton would be a fool not to take the Chargers or the Cowboys. I mean, those are, you got quarterbacks, you got weapons, you got defensive pass rushers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 745 ESPN, 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776. Trey, we get you in on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere. Anybody else wants in, 713-780-3776. Anybody wants hair? And if you want hair, okay, I don't know what your hair situation is. I can't see you. You can see us. You know, you can see us on Twitter, on Twitch rather, and you can see that the hair game is going pretty damn good. It makes it's a huge difference maker. It's so much better to have hair. The process is so simple. It is so good. It is really, really easy. I love what Doc Linville has done for me, and you'll love what Doc Linville does for you. If you're somebody that is follically impaired, like I was follically impaired, I was mangy. It was terrible. I mean, it was you know, just felt bad anytime somebody's looking at the back of your head, and it's a little bit, you know, embarrassing if you want to know the truth. Not anymore. Don't care. Because what Doc Linville has done for me has been awesome, and he'll do the same for you. He's like one of the leaders in hair movement now, and I call it hair movement, not hair replacement. It's hair movement in the city of Houston, and you want the process that is the best. You want the process that is simple. You want the process that is basically painless. It is awesome. So if you're looking for hair, there's one place to go, 975hair.com, 975hair.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
Hey, guys, if you have recurring pain and it's chronic, then what you have is damaged tissue in your joints, more than likely. And it can be your back, your shoulder, your hip, your knee. Those are the most common places, but it can be in other places, too. You may go to an orthopedic doctor, and they may tell you, "Well, you know, this is just really deteriorating, or this is going to eventually. Let's get you some shots, and this will help you for the next 3 months. And then here's some, you know, pain medicine you can use, and then eventually you'll have surgery. You'll have downtime from the surgery. Listen, how about QC Kinetics? They have all natural biological therapies where they use the body's own healing power, and what they do is they basically set it up to be more successful. They put it back into your joints, and what you get is the regeneration and restorative process begins on your damaged tissue. And when your damaged tissue or a lack of tissue that is restored, when it is restored, what you have is less pain, a lot less pain. And so chronic pain begins to lessen, and it has happened with a lot of people who have been over that have just contacted me who have gone to QC Kinetics. It makes a huge difference, and even if you have loss of cartilage, they have processes that can help you with that as well. What they're doing over there is amazing. You can read the reviews for yourself and see what you think, but QC Kinetics is here to help you where a lot of the old school medicine is going to fail you in some instances or not give you the relief that you're looking for. QC Kinetics will. 713-913-5285 is their phone number. 713-913-5285 or go to QCKinetics.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. You got some thoughts on this weekend's playoff games? Come on in. They're all set now. Giants and the Eagles, the Cowboys and the 49ers. The Bengals and Bills, that's going to be good. The Chiefs and the Jags. And I get the Jags a fighting chance. I'm going to give it to the Jags. It seems like the game that would be least, that probably will be the least competitive. But I'm going to give the Jags a fighting chance here. I haven't seen the lines yet. Have you seen the lines?
I have not.
We're going to have to take a look at it. We got Trey here, though. He wants to get in, talk about the Rockets or the NBA. What do you say, Trey?
Hey, can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, we got you. How you doing, man?
All right, great. So, first of all, wasn't able to call in yesterday. I had COVID, but what did I learn this weekend? Getting COVID for the fourth time is not fun, and whatever variant is out there, watch out, guys, because that's the real deal. But going back to the Rockets and just the NBA in general, like, basketball is my love. I was All-State at Houston Christian here in Houston a long time ago. But the NBA is just trash. It's not a good product. The players aren't likable. They all change teams. It's not like the old days where all these guys stayed on the same team and they didn't just leave because, you know, they had, you know, they're crying like James Harden. But either way, I think it's just a bad product. And I think it's just a variety of things of why the NBA is just falling, and I think it's going to continue to fall because it's absolutely not watchable sometimes. And the Tim Donaghy documentary really confirmed a lot of my conspiracies, knowing basketball very well and watching these games, that it's definitely fixed. So I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys. Love the show, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
I can't disagree with a lot of things you said, although I wasn't all state in basketball at Houston Christian. That was a nice humble brag right there by Trey. It is a lot. You know, there was a time when in the early 90s, when it was so physical, the games were 83-78.
It was hard to watch. Yep. I mean, I was not, you know, people may try to romanticize it, but seriously, the Cleveland Cavaliers would, Mike Fratello, who had talent.
And the Knicks.
It was famous. Like, I was just starting to handicap. They would take the shot clock down to like six. So they'd shorten games, shorten possessions. Yeah. They did it against the better teams. Against the lesser teams, he would play a regular tempo. But they would take it down to six and let Mark Price make plays, and they had good players on the team. But it was like, you know, getting a 90 didn't – there was a lot of games that were not in the 90s. If a lot of games were in the 80s, some were in the 70s. But it was, you know, and the teams were – it was the Cavs, it was the Heat, it was the Knicks. There were certain teams you knew like, oh, man, this is going to be brutal.
Yeah.
They played better defense. They did play better defense. It was also – you have to remember now, it also – the ball would be walked up the court, and they didn't get into their offense until a lot of times like maybe 12 seconds. Now the difference is people hustle up, and they're not afraid to look early in the clock for a shot. Like if you get an early shot – and I remember the Rockets talking about early offense way back where, hey, if we get up the court – remember how Jeff Van Gundy – had a team that felt like they were grinding, but you always say Jeff Van Gundy was waving his guys to hurry up the court. One of the things he wanted was, hey, if we get a good shot early in the shot clock, let's take it. An open look is an open look, and now with teams playing less defense, less team-based defense, you do get open, and it is a known thing. Guys pull up for three on fast breaks now and make it. You know, they make it. Like, they're better shooters now than they were in the past in general. So, but I think that we romanticize, and it was a tough, tough NBA. Like, there were no, it was just a known, if you went in the paint, you're going to have two people collapse, and you aren't always going to take a forearm shiver unless you're playing the Pistons.
It just seemed like it was so much more intense.
But you were challenged.
It just seemed like it was so much more competitive, so much more intense. The basketball, like you said, wasn't great. The shooting wasn't great. The defense was physical, and it led to not great offense.
It was today, more now, intense.
Now it's done a 180 so far the other way.
Yeah,
let's go up and just put up a three
as many shots as possible and as many threes. It's like the Big 12 was a few years back, where you knew the scores are going to be like a 49-42 in football and basketball now, like. If you really take percentage of points of I think it's going to skew statistically. People are going to argue that there are going to be players now that they'll look at who, this is the greatest player of all time. Look what he's done here, this, that, and the other. And I think we're watching some amazing performances. Don't get me wrong. Jokic, Luka, Embiid, Giannis, LeBron. You see some amazing things. But also, we see way more shots. We see way more easy shots. Some of the stats you kind of have to take with a grain of salt, just like you do in college football, because it's not like you're getting way more shots and you're getting way more open looks. And I just wonder, I think the NBA likes this, like, but is it helping their ratings? I still think competitive basketball is the number. I think competitive basketball.
That's it.
The short attention span of everybody, not just young people. It's all of us. It's all of us. We all have short attention spans now. In 82 games, a lot. 162 in baseball is a lot. But, you know, baseball is just kind of in the background for you for a long time. And you watch it, and you're at a restaurant eating. It's there, and you're watching a game. Football, you're locked in. You have to be locked in. There's not a lot of them. Basketball's in that in-between zone where you know, I think it would help if basketball were 62 games. They're never going to do that. It would cost everyone money. But, I'm also probably jaded because my team sucks ass.
Well, that's
how about this? Are the Rockets better this year or last year, in your opinion, based on what you see?
They're supposed to be better this year.
Okay, that's fine. Last year, this year, right now, they're 10-34. They played 44 games. Last year at this time, they were 12-32. Did two more wins last year than this year. And this year, they're supposed to be better. But I'm just telling you now, I'm starting to get a Stephen Catt feel from KPJ and Jalen Green. And that just like should make your heart sink to even hear something like that. Alperen Şengün, if you didn't see it, he was 14-17 from the field. He was a monster. At 16 boards, 4 blocks, 6 assists. He 2-of-2 from the three-point line. This ball and this offense, this has been something that I've been preaching for a couple weeks now. Alperen Şengün is too good. And I know you think the same thing. This guy's got to get the minutes. And you know what? You're going to have to make a serious... Like, I know most basketball doesn't flow through bigs anymore, but this is a different deal. This is a guy who's worked with Hakeem Olajuwon. You see it in his baseline spin. You see it in his footwork, taking people from top of the key, off the bounce, down low, backing them in, and then being able to go to either turn, either angle, and make a shot. He's a nasty dunker, which I never thought I'd see, the way he's posterizing people. You know what? He's a more efficient player than Jalen Green. Roosh Williams said something about, man, this regression of Jalen is a little bit scary.
It is scary.
Is it regression now? It is. Are we going to have to start talking about regression? Or is he just not playing? Because you know what? The truly great young players, look at John Morant. Now, this is where playing in college really makes a difference. You've got that experience. The kid never had college experience. John Morant is the same type of physical, you know, I think Jalen's got some John Morant physical, you know, the explosiveness and all that. John never had this kind of run.
No,
he never looked like this in his second year.
This is scary that Jalen Green's playing like this.
It is because he is your dude. Because
the way he finished up the end of last year, you thought, oh, my goodness, he'd now take that step.
I'm going to tell you something. I would consider this, and I know people will get mad at this, and I love watching Jalen when Jalen's at his best. I would absolutely, if you got Victor Wembanyama in the draft, if you got the first pick, I would consider trading both KPJ and Jalen Green, and just saying, all right, you know what? We got double big, so we're going to have to figure this out. But we'll go Twin Towers. It'll be Samson Olajuwon all over again. And really, I mean, really? That's so ironic that one guy has Ralph's body and the other guy works with Dream. But we got and has the footwork that, you know, he's developing footwork like that. We'll just go double bigs, and we'll figure out. We'll trade because you can get a lot for Jalen Green. Oh, Jalen Green is still a very valuable commodity. I would almost consider that because I don't know that a team that is centered around Jalen as the primary James Harden, he ain't Harden right now, and he's not efficient like that.
I think it's I think it's wishful thinking. I don't think they'll get rid of Jalen Green. I just don't.
No, and I'm not trying to get rid of Jalen Green, but I'm just saying. You got a lot of cooks in the kitchen if you get Victor Wembanyama as well.
I'll tell you this. He's not playing up to it. That number two and that star, he's just not. He's not playing up to it. And he's got to play a hell of a lot better. He's got to get a hell of a lot better.
He's got to play better defense.
Maybe he needs some better coaching. We'll see. Now, it's 8 o'clock here on ESPN. Everybody wants to talk about this subject.
Yeah, no, I'm interested to hear what people say. I'm just frustrated because they've lost 73 in a row.
Yeah.
Or maybe it just feels like 73 in a row. They have lost 16-17. Maybe that's my frustration, and I'm just not watching a team that I feel like has any chance. Boy, against the spread, they're probably terrible too. But this is getting hard. This is really getting hard to watch.
It's starting to feel like Stephen Catino right now. It's starting to feel like that.
Only you've got like
some hope.
I mean, it feels more hopeful than back then.
All right, when we go back, you guys, we'll get you all in. We got a full board that everybody wants to talk about this subject. We'll do it on the other side. But right now, I'm talking about you dipping. And it's gross. I don't know. Do you do the long cut? Do you like the little ones that get all over the place?
John, you're doing a commercial for dipping, though. Stop saying it's gross.
Well, no. Artisan Grand.
You're a swallow dip?
It's gross.
I vomited. I tried to do it once. I swallowed it. I swallowed some. I didn't think I did, but I did.
I thought
I was being cool. I remember my friend Clint, who was taking me. I was at Hobby Airport. We were driving. I had just flown in from college. I thought I was like, oh, yeah. Oh, sure. I'll put a little. Oh, no, I love the dip. The dip is great. And then I pulled over. I had to open the door and vomit all over the place. And then this power, I don't know, something happened with the electrical box,
Transformer.
The transformer. And all these birds, like as I'm vomiting, these birds just like 8 birds fell to the ground dead right next to my head. And I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever.
Well, that just told you don't
and
ever
it was God's
dip
way
again.
Of saying, you sure you want to dip?
Yeah.
You
no,
sure
no,
you
no,
dip?
Absolutely. And here's well,
you can swallow
the doctor's
yours,
way. The doctor's way of telling you don't dip is, well, all of the disease and sickness, and it's bad. Don't do it. Nicotine, it's
addictive.
Addictive. It's and it causes, you know, cancer. It does. It just does. So stop, because I got a better way to do it. Tobacco free, nicotine free. It's hemp in a pouch made of hemp, and it's also got CBD in it. And it's healing as opposed to hurting. So if you're looking for a great way to stop dipping while you're dipping, go to 975dip.com. That's 975dip.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.